You can see him quite frequently on The Jump, ESPN's NBA almost daily show. He joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, former member of the Suns front office. Amin, how's your life?
My life is amazing. I don't have to deal with the heartbreak of not getting the number one pick.
Yes, as every team except New Orleans does.
So, Amin, when you were watching yesterday, were you shocked at the outcome?
You know, it's funny you asked that because earlier in the day I was in a group chat with my buddies and I said, I have a feeling New Orleans is going to get the pick just to mess everybody up, right? Because there's all this talk about who's going to trade for Anthony Davis if you get the number one pick. I said, so what's going to happen? Obviously, New Orleans is going to get that number one pick. And so I was at the, one of the Suns watch parties at one of the locations near my house, and I'm sitting there, and as soon as, you know, Suns are 6 and Cavs are 5, I said, holy crap, Griffin's going to do this, right? And so sure enough, David Griffin, Alvin Gentry, and Aaron Nelson, man, those guys are happy former Phoenix Suns employees right now because they got the number one overall pick.
Isn't that sad? Almost everybody that's a former employee is doing well with the Phoenix Suns, yourself included.
We're all happy today.
You know, I was planning on going talking all about number 6, and we still will, but since you brought it up, I know we all feel in this city we're glad when good things happen to a man like Alvin Gentry and everything for New Orleans, but do you buy David Griffin's positive talk beyond the fact that he's just a nice man, that he really thinks Anthony Davis will stay?
Well, this is how I say it. If you ask me, just point blank, gun to my head, is Anthony Davis staying or going? I'd say he's going. That's my gut reaction. But if you said, imagine a situation where Anthony Davis would stay, what would that look like? A lot of it would be what's happening right now. Is David Griffin in charge? Because if you think about why Anthony Davis wanted out, was because he didn't like the direction of the team, and you could blame him, right? The team wasn't going anywhere. They couldn't attract free agents. They didn't have good cap management. They weren't drafting well. If you look at their roster, they don't have any player under the age of 25 that makes you go, or get up in the morning. It's just Anthony Davis and a bunch of dudes, right? So of all your problems were how the team was being run, and they got rid of the guy who ran it and got one of the best front office minds we have in this league, that's already a huge step in towards, okay, well, let me hear what you got to say. The other thing that Griff does is, you know this, he's not just a nice guy. He's a well of infectious positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's contagious. You get in a room with that guy and you're working with that guy, that organization is going to turn around from what it was to a lot of people described it as very isolationist and people in silos and no one really know what everyone else is doing to more of a family environment, more of a we're all in this together. That changes the mood around the facility and around the team. And then last but not least, Griff has a great working relationship with Rich Paul. Not a good relationship, a great relationship with him from his years in Cleveland, obviously Rich Paul representing LeBron James. And so if part of why Anthony Davis wanted out was also because his agent wanted out of there because the agent didn't have a good relationship with the guy in charge. Again, they've repaired that part. And then you just throw on top of it, oh, by the way, they got the number one overall pick.
And he owes them a favor for the Tristan Thompson contract.
Well, yeah. but point being is I still think he's going to leave, but if you told me he's going to stay, these are the ingredients that are going
to
make him stay.
So if you think he's going to leave, it's not going to be to the Lakers, is it, Amin?
Oh, no.
No, I just don't think they could put together the most compelling package. I think Boston still has that with the, you know, the whole thing is having the Lakers have the number 4 pick, and I don't want to belittle or boohoo that. That's a pretty big deal, but you know, more is better because the whole idea is in this drafting, no one's awesome at it, right? Mm-hmm. We're all kind of swinging at the pinata in the dark, right? So in this case, you want as many opportunities as possible, so more picks is better. Because you're throwing darts and you're just trying to, you're taking whacks at it and you hope to make contact at some point.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Amin El-Hassan, who's been in an NBA draft room during the draft. And since you just mentioned it, the fall off that starts at 4 for most people after RJ Barrett. Give us a number now, and I realize it's May 15th. There's going to be a lot of things that change. Yeah. But I'm really struggling with this draft because I think my favorite player is a guy that I saw once. If I'm looking at it from the number six pick, and that's Garland. I watched him play against the USC. We didn't really get to see Bol Bol, who might be there. There's so many questions after R.J. Barrett. Who's a guy that you look at and you say, you know what? If he's there at six, this guy will help.
You know, I was talking to one of my buddies yesterday who was at the watch party with me, and he said, the silver lining of having six is that you can take a guy like Kobe White, for instance, or Garland, and not feel like it was a reach, right? Because mm-hmm. the worst-case scenario is be three, right?
Yes.
To be three, then you're like, okay, the best players here are wing players. We clearly don't need any more wings. So you either take a guy who's the better player but is just another glut on top of a glut, or you take a guy that you like and fits a role, but you're clearly overreaching at three or four or even five. So six is kind of like if you weren't going to get one or two, six is almost the better spot to be for the Suns,
right?
Just because of that.
That's right. A great point.
I mean, what about Monty Williams? What do you know about him? Did you like the hire?
Yeah, I like the hire because Monty is a straight shooter. He's a no-nonsense guy. This is a team that obviously lacks a lot of structure. And most importantly, they gave him a five-year deal. And I'm pretty sure he didn't come on the cheap. So what that does is it almost forces Robert and forces the Suns. You got to stick with this one. You can't. If they come back and win 25 games next year, you can say, he's no good, and get rid of him again.
Right.
This is what they've done with the last few coaches. You say, get rid of him, and then he looks at that hold on, we still owe him four more years? Hold on, let's give him a chance here. And I think ultimately that's more than anything what the head coach of the Suns, whoever it is, needed. I think Igor is a tremendous coach.
Mm-hmm.
But without organizational support and without, if you're coaching for your job in year one on a team that really had no veteran talent, and no point guards. I don't understand what kind of job people thought was going to get done last year. What Monty's going to have coming in is at least have job security in the sense that I cost too much to get rid of very easily.
Mm. Jeff Bauer, James Jones, Monty Williams. Is that a threesome that can keep Coach Robert Sarver out of the room?
No. Well, typically what happens when there's a big change in the organization, Robert kind of steps back. He lets them do their thing for the first couple of years. And then slowly but surely, he starts to inject himself. I mean, it's not – the movie hasn't changed. We're just back at the beginning of the same movie. We're back to the beginning. It's like Groundhog Day. It starts with he wakes up and the song that's playing on the radio. And then as the day goes on, things happen. Same thing when Stephen Griff left. The new regime that came after that had a lot of leeway that we were shocked about. We had two great guys here, and Robert was in their business on everything. And then we got two guys who were, if I may be frank, not as good as Stephen Griff, and they were allowed to do everything. They were allowed to spend money crazy. And we're just like, well, if you'd been this Robert with the last guys, we'd be in a different place. And so slowly but surely it shows that they're not really that good. So then Robert starts to get more involved, but that doesn't really help. And then he gets rid of them, and then Ryan McDonough comes in. And then Ryan McDonough comes in, and he's got a lot of power and a lot of leeway at the beginning. And then slowly but surely, Robert starts to get involved. So James Jones, Jeff Bauer, Monty Williams, enjoy the honeymoon while you can.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Don't take it personally when I say, I hope you're dead wrong. Thank you,
but
buddy.
You're probably not.
Really appreciate you joining us.
The only thing I'll say is the old NBA thing. They're probably saying NFL, too. The tiger doesn't change stripes, he just changes jungle.
Changes jungle.
Right on, brother. Thank you for your time, man.